Welcome to another edition of Cat Soup, the best of internet humor on the radio. I'm Cat.
And I'm Joe.
Well, you're looking quite dapper today.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have a glow-in-the-dark t-shirt?
I'm not wearing a diaper today. What kind of person do you think I am? I'm a full-grown man.
Dapper.
Oh, dapper.
Dapper.
Oh, sorry about that.
Styling.
Dapper. You know? Oh, throwback terms.
You'd be looking good.
Ah, got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, but that's not the theme. Trivia question for today, though. Okay.
Yeah?
It's not t-shirts, okay? I'll give you a hint, it's not t-shirts.
Okay.
The average American owns 7 of these. What are they?
Lost marbles.
I have a few more than 7 that are missing.
What says the average American? You're just above average.
That's true. 7.
Well, it's not gambling dice.
No.
It's not days of the week. Don't know.
The average American owns 7 pairs of blue jeans.
Ah.
Yeah. I think I make up for about 6 people.
Yep. Oops.
If you do the average, yeah, I love my blue jeans.
Well, that depends on what waist size we're talking about.
Oh, no, I have them.
Yeah.
I have 6 different sizes in 6 boxes. And
yeah, and one of these days when I lose the weight, I'm going to get back to them, right? No. Anyways,
no.
Well, I'm going to lose the weight, but I'm going to get rid of the jeans.
I've got bigger sizes and smaller sizes, so.
We don't want to go up. We're talking down.
Yeah.
Going down. Okay.
So here's a hint.
Yes.
What kind of dress can't be worn?
First, it's diapers, not diapers. Now we're talking about dresses. Hello.
Getting closer.
Yeah. I guess I have to add this up. So the address.
Right. A dress cannot be worn. Address. An address.
Interesting.
Yeah.
No, I'm just thinking of in a polar plane, how many depths of level can we go to get back from dress to address? But it can be worn because, never mind. Anyways.
Only if you wear your address on your sleeve, which is a lot easier than wearing your heart on your sleeve.
Sometimes it's safer.
Well, yeah, and people just keep driving by. Of course, they do that with my heart on my sleeve, too.
Ooh,
okay.
Ooh.
I had a rough week.
And
folks.
Now for a really deep moment.
So the theme for today
is
dun
da da da.
Not Batman.
Oh. Penguin.
Not Penguin.
Oh.
No superheroes. We have a girly show today.
Yeah, then it must be about fashion.
It's fashion.
Fashions. All right.
Yay,
ding 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 ding. What do I win? Nothing.
Nothing. the grace of my presence for another 25 minutes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
So the curious saying for today is tuxedo.
Tennessee.
No, tuxedo.
No, Tennessee tuxedo.
What?
Yeah.
There's. Oh, no, it's a cartoon character, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, it does not matter how hard I work on this. It always comes around. They can relate anything to a superhero, cartoon character, or an old movie. Stop. You're all the... Dave is laughing over there.
From Wikipedia.com. Tuxedo in the context of menswear originated in the U.S. around 1888. It was named after Tuxedo Park, a Hudson Valley enclave for New York's social elite, where it was often seen in its early years.
Right. No. Do not. No.
I'm being nice.
So, I have a top 10 list.
Ah, that must mean we have 17 today.
14.
Ah, missed.
Yes.
Okay.
This is from BuzzFeed.com.
BuzzFeed.com.
One of my favorite internet sites.
Cool.
These are 14 mind-blowing facts about the clothes you are wearing.
Okay.
Number 14, actress Julie Newmar, who starred as the original Catwoman, yes, I am mentioning a superhero, actually holds the patent for pantyhose with shaping band for cheeky derriere relief, which was a forerunner to Spanx.
Really?
Yes, she was granted the patent in 1975. Hey, if you're going to wear that outfit...
Well, yeah.
Yeah, there needs to be something there holding the girls in.
And you could say she perfectly wore that. Number 13, a woman was actually arrested in Boston in 1907 for wearing a form-fitting one-piece on the beach. Hmm. Gasp.
Gasp. Barbie's first outfit, and I had this because I'm really old, a black and white striped one-piece swimsuit.
Wow.
Strapless.
I seem to remember
And she
that.
Had her hair up in a ponytail, yeah. But she still had high heels on with the bathing suit.
Yeah, that made no never mind.
I know. That's Barbie.
Well, she was, she could consider like walking a stage in a pageant show.
Yes, she was a fashion icon.
Number 11, Princess Leia's bikini in Star Wars. Think about it. Okay. Probably the most famous bikini in the world was actually two. She had a real metal one she wore for much of the filming, and then a rubber one she wore for during her action scenes.
My goodness.
There is a whole website devoted to her bikini.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Number 10, South Korea used to have actual fashion police who would go around measuring the miniskirt length of women. If skirts were deemed too short, they would be fined or arrested.
Yes. Goodness. There are certain countries that still do have fashion police.
Well, yeah.
And they are not very nice. Hmm. Number 9, a man designed GPS programmable shoes that are activated by, you guessed it, clicking your heels together 3 times. No place like home.
Click, click.
No place like home. No place like home.
8. The world's longest wedding dress that has a train that's 8. Excuse me. Let me start that again. The world's longest wedding dress has a train that's 1.85 miles long. It required approximately 3 miles of taffeta and 18 feet of lace to produce. Crazy.
Okay. I have one question about that.
Yes.
Why?
I don't know. Do you know where the term the whole nine yards comes from? It's not football related.
It has got to be something to do with fashion, since we're talking about fashion.
It does.
And I would bet it has something to do with something about wedding dresses and the fact that they wrap it with layers upon layers upon layers of...
The whole nine yards was, if you were upper crust back when, you're the longer your train, then the upper crustier you were.
Okay.
And, yeah, 9 yards was the measuring stick against which crustiness was measured. So the whole 9 yards.
So you either... Never mind.
Yeah.
Number 7, the first pair of Levi's sold around 1853 for about $6 worth of gold dust. The brand got its distinctive 501 label from the storage lot number. It was signed in 1890, and it just stuck.
Hmm.
Cool.
Okay. Now, I really wanted to give you this one, but I'm feeling generous this morning.
Cool.
Number 6, the YKK you see on most zippers.
Okay.
It stands for Yoshida Kogyo Kabushiki Kayasha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which roughly translates to the Yoshida Company Limited.
Mm-hmm.
YKK is the most popular zipper maker in the world.
It actually, just Japanese-wise, it's pronounced Kogyo.
Okay.
Sorry. I know Japanese. It's Ko and then G-Y-O is one another. Kogyo.
Kogyo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sorry. Number 5. That's the geekness in me, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Napoleon had brass buttons sewn on the sleeves of his soldiers' uniform to discourage them from wiping their noses on their uniform.
That's so sad.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to move on from
that.
For Ralph Lauren, real name Ralph Lifshitz, started out as a tie designer. This is a serious program.
No, that really was his name.
I know. Speaking of, a fanatic tie collector is called a grabologist.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number 3, people used to wear live chameleons as brooches in the late 1800s. They'd pin them to their lapels like regular jewelry.
Ah.
Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah, no.
So the little Valspar guys.
Yeah.
You'd attach them to your clothes and they turn the color of your clothing.
Is that a real brooch or a fake one? It's real.
2, Abercrombie and Fitch actually offered Jersey Shore's Mike the Situation Sorrentino money to stop wearing its clothes because the company felt he was ruining its reputation.
And the number 1 weird fact about the clothes we wear.
According to Icelandic folklore, if you don't get new clothes to wear for Christmas, There's a giant Yule cat that will eat you.
If you could see my face right now, you'd be saying, what is that old boy thinking?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah,
the Yule cat. Oh, dumb criminals.
From dumbcriminals.com.
And it's not shoplifting clothes either.
It's not shoplifting? No. Oh, come on.
It's called fashion. Look it up. For Tuesday, November 26, 2013, filed under drugs and drunks.
Okay. Clothing is always crazy, but with Black Friday, merchandise shelves get more and more outrageous. Pink fur jackets, which animal has pink fur? And if so, why would you kill such a rarity just to keep your rich white butt warm? Eh. Paired with pants too patterned to seem real. Thanks, let me just walk around shopping sporting wallpaper. Seems to fill everyone's shopping bags.
One Georgia man is trumping the rest, however. He was seen running around wearing only a turban and a pair of high heels. And stopped only to put on a pair of pink women's underwear. Thank goodness, right?
Yeah.
Worse yet, he was also carrying a pair of sweatpants. According to HP, policemen found traces of cocaine and marijuana in his vehicle. He was arrested on drug charges, public indecency, and a DUI. Beauty over comfort, always.
Why does that not surprise me?
This is one of my favorite people, Joan Rivers. I can't. I tried to do the accent last night, and I couldn't, so we're just going to do this. Straight.
Can we talk? Yeah, it's not even close.
This is story time.
Okay.
And this was printed in Harper's Bazaar on her, what would have been her 85th birthday that she lived. Can we talk? Joan Rivers broke a lot of glass ceilings, not only in the comedy world, but also in the fashion world. Rivers transitioned over her 40-year-long career in stand-up and late-night comedy to a place where no comedian ever dared go before, the red carpet.
Now, while viewers, fashion insiders, and Hollywood's A-list were busy worshipping questionable red carpet looks simply because they were designer or couture, Joan was fearless in calling it like it was. In honor of what would be the Queen of Comedy's 83rd birthday, we are remembering all of her best red carpet insults from the last decade.
Yes.
Yes.
When she commented on Justin Bieber becoming the new face of Calvin Klein, she said, Justin Bieber is going to be the new face of Calvin Klein underwear. We've gone from Marky Mark to douchey douche.
Number two. On Princess Beatrice's headpiece at the royal wedding, she is so desperate to get married, but she's wearing an IUD on her head. I mean, enough! The hat looks like she's trying to make funnel cakes.
If you see it, it does. It's the strangest thing in the world.
Or she was trying out for the Tin Man.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who wore it better, Paris Hilton or Lady Gaga?
Mm.
I haven't seen that many safety pins on one woman since I changed Betty White's diapers. Paris is wearing it correctly, but she's so over. She starts every day looking in the mirror saying, why couldn't have I been born Armenian? Sorry, but Paris looks better. The only thing I'd do differently with Paris is I'd drop a piano on her.
Sounds like Joan.
Salty woman.
Of course it is. Number four, when she compared grandchildren to supermodels. Grandchildren can be annoying. How many times can you go, and the cow goes moo, and the pink goes oink? I mean, it's really like talking to a supermodel.
Ouch.
And on all you supermodels listening to this,
we're not
picking on you.
Because we do. We have a large listenership of supermodels.
And if you're really a supermodel, come here and prove that you look that good. Anyways.
Critiquing Queen Elizabeth II's style, gowns by Helen Keller, nice looking, not at all like her stamp. Where's her watch over the glove, though? Tacky, tacky, tacky.
Man, even the queen.
Yeah. Oh, she has no limits.
Number six, on Kim Kardashian's 2012 Halloween costume. She spent $2,000 on that wig. It's human hair from close back. The saddest thing about this is that Jessica Simpson thinks she went as Chicken of the Sea. I'm sorry. That was hard to read. I'm trying not to laugh.
On Kate Winslet's headpiece.
Uh-huh.
The nice thing about this hat is that it covers up the head wound that made her think it was a good idea to wear it in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was wound.
Wound.
It's early. And the nice thing about this hat is that it covers up the head wound.
Wound.
It made her think it was a good idea to wear it in the first place. Okay. So, we have some interesting fast facts.
I was thinking there was 14.
Scratch. All right, you did five. You should be on five.
No.
You know, I had this bet with my boyfriend that once the colors on the paper turned from pink to gray, that you wouldn't know what to do.
You were wrong.
Oh, okay. Anyway.
Fast facts from scratchhand.com. Now, this is interesting and fun facts about fashion. Okay, so here's the first one. The word jeans come from the cotton pants worn by jeans, the local term for Genoan sailors.
Genoa.
Italian.
Italians are
Genoa,
good
people. Genoa, potato, potato.
Yeah. Mm. It was not acceptable for women to wear shorts in public until World War II.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Number three. American households spend about 3.8% of their income on clothing, which equates to about $1,700 per person. By comparison, Americans spend 11% of their income on clothes in 1950. Yeah, you know, that's considering what some of the stuff they're buying. I mean, you know, you spend hundreds of dollars for a ripped pair of jeans that you can do at home for $35. Never
mind. The price of clothing has decreased by 8.5% since 1992, even when adjusted for inflation.
Interesting. Over a lifetime, an American woman will spend $125,000 on clothes, 3,000 items, 271 pairs of shoes, 185 dresses, and 145 bags.
I think I got the 145 bags.
And depending on how many weddings she'd been to?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all those bridesmaid dresses.
There you go.
Women's nominal clothing sizes, this one just gets to me, have increased in physical size over the years in a phenomenon known as vanity sizing. A size 8 dress with a 32-inch bust in 1967 is now considered a size 0 today.
Yeah, it's like getting a new car that's 2 years in the future, but it's now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, expensive clothing stores are... Yeah, I can wear a tiny little dress. It's amazing.
Just think what we'll be out in 50 years. Sorry about that, folks. More than 2 billion T-shirts are sold each year.
Yep. The difference between two nominal clothing sizes is approximately 10 to 15 pounds.
That's interesting.
Yeah, well, that was kind of cool.
For all the hoopla made about Fashion Week, the average fashion show is only about 10 minutes long.
Yeah, the red carpet is an hour or something, and then when they sit down for the show, it's 10 minutes.
Then they get that music. And here comes Janice, and she's wearing a nice off-the-shoulder. Anyways.
Yeah. We got just jokes.
Okay.
There's a whole website, attireclub.org. Most of them were things I couldn't print, but we do have a few.
Okay.
Yeah. Humor is a very important part of life. It can make you feel better when things aren't going great, or it can help you communicate and understand situations and truths. Because here at Attire Club, we love a good joke. We've put together a collection of fashion jokes and internet memes for you to read and share on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Tumblr, and anywhere else.
So, the first question is, why do models always smile during lightning storms?
They think they're getting their picture taken. Go for it, Joe.
Why do golfers wear two pairs of pants?
Just in case they get a hole in one.
Wearing a turtleneck is like getting strangled by a really weak guy all day.
True.
Hmm.
Two engineering students meet on campus one day. The first engineer calls out to the other,
"Hey, nice bike. Where'd you get it?"
"Well," replies the other, "I was walking to class the other day when this pretty young co-ed rides up on this bike. She jumps off, takes off all of her clothes, and says, 'You can have anything you want.'"
"Good choice," says the first. "Her clothes wouldn't have fit you anyways."
Harry wanted a new suit, so he bought a nice piece of cloth and tried to find a good tailor. The first tailor he visited looked at the cloth, measured Harry, and told him there was not enough cloth to make a suit.
Now, Harry found this very hard to accept, so he went to the tailor next door who measured both Harry and the cloth before announcing that there was enough cloth to make him a three-piece suit.
A week later, Harry returned to collect his suit and noticed the tailor's son was wearing trousers made of the same cloth.
Now, puzzled, Harry asked, "How can you have been able to make a three-piece suit for me and trousers for your son when the chap next door cannot even make me a suit?"
"Simple," said the tailor. "The guy next door has two sons." Yeah. We have a rant.
From cracked.com. Now, this is about popular fashion trends, quotation, that killed people, by Alice Hester Jones. If we know our readers, then we're guessing fashion dominates you your every thought. But how far would you go? How far would you go to be wearing the absolute latest and hottest looks? Would you wear something knowing it could stand or at some point kill you?
Throughout history, men and women have been asked that exact question. And time again, they shrugged and said, I'll risk it. So we wound up with things like this.
The crinoline, or crinoline. It was a hoop skirt that women in the 19th century wore under their actual skirts. It was made from horsehair in thread or steel, and the whole purpose of the huge apparatus was to make the skirt look more shirt-like. And since you were basically wearing a cage around your legs, you could probably use the crinoline to trap small animals and kick them to death.
How could it kill you, you ask? A steel crinoline was actually so deadly, it's amazing this thing was ever worn at all. Because of its design, it was quite susceptible to gusts of wind. There are tales of women on piers that were swept up and carried out to sea, where they promptly drowned due to having a steel cage tied around their waist. It was also a bad idea for them to hang around cliffs or tall buildings in this sort of contraption.
The skirt would get entangled in the spokes of carriages, presumably dragging the women screaming down the street. Then there was a less obvious danger, such as knocking over candles. Now don't laugh. The poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow's second wife went up in flames this way, and she wasn't the only one.
What the heck were they thinking? Well, the crinoline, in making someone's rear look big, would also make their waist look smaller. And that way, women didn't have to wear a corset. Why would they take such extravagant measures to avoid that? Well,
the corset. Now, the corset, if you're one of the small percentage of our readership not wearing one right now, was meant to suck in a woman's problem areas with a small side effect of cutting off all the circulation between their legs and their head.
The result was not so much an hourglass figure, but a body that became an actual hourglass. Queen Maud of Norway was famous for her very small waistline, and many of her gowns are still exhibited so everyone can view their beauty and not at all freakishnessless.
How could it kill you, you ask? The act of donning a corset didn't become truly dangerous until people started tight lacing them to the point that their insides were squeezed like a toothpaste tube.
Ow! Unsurprisingly, when tight lacing was fashionable, people didn't breathe very well. With their liver in their throats and their lungs in their bellies, Victorian women could break a rib, serious injury in days before anesthesia. And cramming all of the organs inwards could cause internal bleeding. Female impersonator Joseph Hanella was undoubtedly unfortunate when in 1912 he first collapsed on stage as a result of the tight lacing from his corset. And then, when the New York Times wrote the part about what killed him, they said it was his increasing girth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In 1903, a woman died suddenly due to two pieces of the corset steel that became lodged in her throat. Yeah. When your outfit stabs you to death, it's probably a sign that you made a bad fashion decision.
But what the heck were they thinking? What else do you do when you live in a society that demands women have a shape that's physically impossible? They were stuck between wearing a thing that could snap ribs or a ridiculous cage dress that could fling them into oncoming traffic at the first gust of wind. At that point, you just flip a coin and wait for someone to invent feminism.
Dun, 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 dun. And now for the fontage. The fontage was a headdress for proper ladies in the 17th and 18th century. France that considered it, 18th century France, that consisted of ribbons, lace, and sometimes a small cap intertwined with the lady's hair. Now, that doesn't seem like a sort of thing that could murder you, does it?
No, but how it could kill you? As the 17th century grew unhip, the fontage became larger and larger until it culminated with women that had entire ecosystems attached to their skulls. When left alone and unprovoked, the fontage probably only maimed but never actually killed anyone. It's only when you attach the headdress to a lady and said lady started moving about in a room full of candle chandeliers, that the fontage would demonstrate its malicious power, as everything in it was fiercely flammable. Mm-hmm. They might as well have been wearing gasoline-soaked rags on their head.
Just ask Miss Von Ilton, who suffered burnt neck, face, and hands, because, as the reporter casually stated, her fontage caught fire. She stared and fell and did not throw it off her as I used to do. Now, we're going to give the good Miss Von Ilton enough credit to assume that she was also screaming a bit when the fire started melting away her flesh.
And what the heck were they thinking? according to Lore, I love Lore.
Lore.
Whoever he is.
Mm.
He says good stories. One of the king's favorite paramours, Angélique de Fontage, lost her cap one day when she was out riding horses with the king. Not wanting to let her hair fall freely, as that might be dangerous, she took a piece of ribbon and tied it to her hair.
Gasp. The king liked it so much that he made de Fontage a duchess. And because all of France women wanted to be just as cool as the duchess, a fashion trend was born. Never mind that de Fontage herself died at the age of 20, probably from standing too close to the candle with her decorative combustible head.
Ow.
Mm.
And finally, we have one for the men.
Aye.
The stiff high collar. We're talking about the specific kind of high detachable collar that was especially popular in the 19th century. The collar was always white and was fastened to the dandy's shirt with studs. These things were starched until they were almost bulletproof and jutted right up to your windpipe. What could possibly go wrong?
How could it kill you, you ask? The detachable collar was quite a subtle assassin. By cutting off circulation, it could creep up on the man of his drunken sleep, a man in his drunken sleep, and choke him to death when the man's head fell forward. It can also cause asphyxiation and the abscess on the brain just by being tight. Or in cases of indigestion that led to the neck swelling, it would simply strangle its prey.
Yeah.
Yuck. One very unlucky man at the end of the 1800s was almost guillotined on his collar when he tripped coming out of a streetcar.
Oh, what the heck were they thinking? Mm. Well, in several European languages, like German, Danish, and Dutch, the stiff detachable collar was playfully referred to as father killer or vetter murder. Incredibly, that catchy name didn't deter people from buying them. The men at the time made some connection between the stiffness of the neckline and sexual virility.
Yeah. Now, we were about to mock this area as quaint and ridiculous, but then we saw some guys walking by with popped collars, and darn if they didn't each have a girl in their arm. Now, this requires some further studies.
Oh, I have one that you'll love here.
Okay.
This is a new segment we have created called Listless Lists.
Okay.
This is from pickupline.net. There is actually a website where you can type in a topic and it will tell you the pickup lines for it. So these are model, fashion brands, and designer pickup lines.
Okay.
So if you want to pick up a model.
So if you're trying to pick up the model.
Yes. Are those guest jeans? Because guess who wants to get into them?
Are you a camera? Because every time I look at you, I smile.
Are you a Victoria's Secret model? Because heaven's missing an angel.
Are you wearing lipstick? Mind if I taste it?
Whack!
No, that's what she brings out the tube and smurls up his lips.
Oh, did you get those pants on sale? The girl asks why. Because at my house, they would be 100% off.
Wow. Hollister? I barely know her.
I find your lack of nudity disturbing.
You know, I have really good fashion sense, but I'm just too poor to prove it.
There we go.
Yes.
I want to live in your socks so I can be with you every step of the way. Cheesy.
If you were a label, it would be for a really premium brand.
Want to go shopping? Today only there's a special deal. 30% off my heart.
Wah, 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 wah.
Yes, we have ruminations.
To ruminate. From ruminate.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know you're not a fashionista when you look at a piece and think, oh, what part of your body did you put that? From Diana Schatz.
The key to being really fashionable teen mom is proper accessorizing. Trekker cap, sunglasses, glitter, lip ring, baby. It's by Travis Rutnick.
When short hemlines came back into fashion, I dug an old miniskirt out of my closet. I tried it on, but couldn't figure out what to do with my other leg. Patricia Dunn.
That is all we have for today. I'm Kat.
And I'm Joe.
And together we're...
Yeah.
Together we're...
Kat Soup.
The best of internet humor on the radio.
Have a great week, folks.